Well, well, that was worth all those squeaks and groans at the beginning, wasn't it? My, I enjoyed that. Wish I could do that. Really wish I could do that. You don't do that without practice. In fact, you don't do anything in this life worthwhile without practice. You don't preach without practice. You don't play the piano without practice. You don't do anything unless you put your mind to it and give time to it. And when you see somebody able to produce music like that, you know that there's many long, long, long hour gone into that. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. When I was with you a few weeks ago, we took up a series of people in the life of David, and there were several other people in the life of David that I didn't mention. One of them I was glad to leave out because he is unquestionably, to my mind, the most unlovely character in the Bible. Even Judas, in my mind, doesn't compare so unfavorably as this particular individual. His name is Shimei, and I want to talk about him this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. Time of the Absalom rebellion, when David was in full flight from Jerusalem, the day of his rejection. We read, when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all of the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his, that's on David's right hand, and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed. You see, the Lord was present. Holy Spirit was right there. He heard what he said, wrote it down. You don't say things that God doesn't hear. You just don't say things that aren't recorded. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man of Belial, thou man of the devil. Fancy calling the Lord's anointed that. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Chapter 19 and verse 15. The Absalom rebellion has now been crushed, and David is coming back to the throne. We read, the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was a Bahurim, hastened and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David, and there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba, servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. They went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that My lord the king went out of Jerusalem that the king should take it to his heart, for thy servant did know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Verse 23, Therefore the king said unto Shimei, Thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. Chapter 2 of the first book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. David is now handing affairs over to his son, to Solomon, giving him some instructions. He says, verse 8, Behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his hoar head bring thou to the grave with blood. Verse 36. And the king, that Solomon, sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, Build thee a house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither, for it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kedron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, The saying is good. Trust the Holy Spirit will bless the reading of his word to our heart. You have been able to get close enough to this man Shimei, close enough so you could hear him, but he couldn't see you. I'll tell you what you'd have heard. You'd have heard a man cursing David. If you could have crept into his home and heard him at his family table, you'd have seen and heard a man cursing David and stilling as though he were a very devil out of hell into the hearts and minds of his children around his own family table, a hatred of David and teaching them how to curse David. What a terrible thing to have on a man's conscience. But he taught his children how to curse the name of the Lord Jesus. If you'd been able to get close to this fellow Shimei at work, during his lunch break, when he was sitting under the shade of some handy olive tree, surrounded by his own particular cronies, I'll tell you what you'd have heard. You'd heard a man cursing David. If you'd been able to get a table near where he sat in the local tavern, over there at Bahurim, and if you could have sat where he couldn't see you, but you could hear him screen out the rest of the noise going on in that place, you'd have heard him cursing David. Because this man, Shimei, hated and detested and abominated the Lord's anointed. He hated everything David said and everything David did and everything David was and everything that David stood for. And you don't have to look very far for the reason, because the Holy Spirit tells you he was related to the former king, King Saul. Now, King Saul was a poor apology for a king, dictatorial, demented, violent, and vicious. And this fellow Shimei had the same mean streak in him that King Saul had in him. They were both cut from the same piece of worthless cloth. Heart and soul, both of them hated and detested David, and for the same reason. David was a threat to them and their lifestyle and what they wanted out of life. So here was this foul man with a fouler mouth cursing David no matter what. You see, when David went down into the valley of Elah and fought Goliath of Gath and came back from the fight victorious, and all Israel shouted their hallelujahs. Hallelujah, what a savior! One man didn't do that. His name was Shimei. He cursed David. He wanted no part of any salvation that came from him. When King Saul, Shimei's kinsman, decided the best thing to do was get rid of David and set the bloodhounds on his scent, and he sent his armed bodyguard out into the hills of Judah to try and catch him, with orders to beat the bushes until they got him and put him to death, Shimei would say to his relative, King Saul, he says, "That's the spirit, Saul. You get the young fiend before he gets you." When all Israel wept at the funeral of King Saul, and when David wept over Saul and Jonathan, as he did, because you see, David is a type of Christ and held no grudges, Shimei would say to his friends, "The canting hypocrite. Everybody knows this is the happiest day of his life." When David wept over the death of Abner, King Saul's general, murdered by Joab, old Shimei'd say to his cronies at the bar, "You're just crocodile tears, fellas. You can bet he put Joab up to that, the murderous old villain." When David brought Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, and showed him the kindness of God, and sat him at his own table and treated him like one of the king's sons, old Shimei would say, "He just wants to keep him where he keep his eye on him, that's all. Yeah, he knows perfectly well the throne belongs to Mephibosheth. All this talk about the kindness, a kindness of God, don't you believe a word of it. He's simply tying him to his table till he can get Joab to bump him off. You wait and see." So you see, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, that David ever did, that David ever said, that sat right with this man Shimei. You see, he seemed to have done quite well for himself under King Saul. That comes out in the story too, because you remember when David came back from the Absalom rebellion, this man Shimei, although he was in danger of losing his head, he still had enough influence. He had 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And he had that wicked old scoundrel Ziba with him too. And his 15 sons and his 20 servants. That's what makes me quite sure Ziba was a scoundrel. Look at the company he keeps. He did quite well for himself under King Saul, but no more. There was absolutely nothing in a man like David for a man like Shimei. A man like Shimei wouldn't cut any ice with a man like David. David was a man after God's own heart. He was the Lord's anointed. apart from one terrible incident in his life, he is one of the most Christ-like people in the Bible. Shimei was a foul-mouthed, evil-speaking, David-hating, God-blaspheming enemy of righteousness in any form whatsoever. He hated David. So you see, the Holy Spirit paints his picture because there are people like that. You don't meet them in places like this. They don't come here unless they're under conviction of sin, usually. And when you read through these chapters in the Old Testament that deal with David, you get the picture of Joab and Abner and Jonathan and Michael and Abigail and Nabal, another man who cursed David, and Ahithophel and Absalom and Mephibosheth and all the rest, and along with them the Holy Spirit paints the picture of this fellow Shimei, because he's got a lesson for us, two lessons. He teaches us, first of all, how far a person will go in profaning God's Son. And to some of us born and brought up in Christian homes and sheltered, blessed be the Lord for that, by our parents for as long as they could from all this kind of thing, it's a shock to us when we first hear it. I never really heard terrible blasphemy. I heard swearing, of course, you cured on a school playground, but I never heard terrible blasphemy until I was in the British Army. There are people like this around you, so you hate the Lord. And Shimei's picture is painted to show us how far a man will go in profaning God's Son. And it's also painted for us to show us how far a man will go sometimes in professing God's salvation when he's not saved at all. And so there are two lessons. I don't suppose there's anybody here this morning that's gone as far as Shimei in profaning God's Son. But maybe some have gone as far as he's gone in professing God's salvation. And so we have set before us this man's shameless character and then this man's shallow conversion. As we look at his shameless character, I want you to see how forcefully he expressed himself. You remember old Simeon, when he came into the temple that day and Mary, the Lord's mother, was there with a little tiny infant in her arms and Joseph, the foster father, standing by. And old Simeon came in, you remember, and he took the little tiny bundle of humanity into his arms. He looked down into the face of deity in humanity. I had my grandchildren staying with me over the weekend, and I was went into the bedroom last night, and there was a little tiny fella. And, you know, he was in his cot, and he had his head down his arms and his rear end stuck up in the air. I just looked at him. And I thought to myself, just think once, the eternal Son of living God looked just like that. Amazing, isn't it? The creator of the universe actually looked like that one day. And when Mary brought the little bundle of light in her arms into the temple, Simeon, that godly old saint of God, he took the little bundle into his arms and he looked into the face of deity in humanity, and he looked into the face of Mary and he said, "This child is destined for a stumbling block." What a strange thing to say. "And to the rising up of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against." Think of it. The second person of the Godhead, the creator of the universe,
steps out of eternity into time. He robes himself in human flesh. He's born as a babe amongst men. He grows up to be a man amongst men. And he's going to be a sign of spoken against him. How dark and degenerate must be a human heart that would speak against him.
He said, a sign that shall be spoken against it, the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. You're quite right, Simeon. There's no doubt about it at all. You just have to listen to what a man or a woman, a young person, a boy or a girl says when he uses the name Jesus Christ. Just those two words. You just have to listen to what he says and how he says it, to find out how the thoughts of his heart are revealed. You meet them all the time. You don't have to go very far from here. You can meet them in the block where you live. You can meet them on the job where you work. You can meet them on the playground, in the classroom, or the school where you go. Often it's thoughtlessness and carelessness. They don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're saying. But every once in a while, you'll meet a man or a woman whose tongue has been set on fire of hell. You'll meet someone who has vitriolic acid, hatred of Christ, and I'll tell you what's happening. You're meeting them more and more. There was a time in America, there was a time in Great Britain when I was a boy growing up, when public opinion held this kind of thing pretty well in check. You hardly ever found a book with the name Jesus Christ used blasphemously in it. It's hard to find a book that doesn't have it anymore. I hope that there's nobody here who's soundly saved and on their way to heaven has home box office coming into their home. That kind of thing. If you do, you better go home, get home and take it out before the Holy Spirit judges you. If I get into motels, I spend a lot of my life in motels, and once in a while by accident I'll turn one of those channels off. I turn it off as soon as I find out what I've got on. And it's terrible, the language that they use, and that kind of language coming into people's homes. Cursing, blaspheming, reviling the beautiful, lovely, saving name of Jesus. Used to be held back and held in restraint, and public opinion wouldn't allow it, but not anymore. All the restraints have been removed. And you see, that's what happened in the days of Shimei. It was the Absalom rebellion that brought it out into the open. It's the great rebellion of our age that's bringing these things out into the open. We're getting ready for the coming of the Antichrist. What we're getting ready for in America and the Western world today. And the Absalom rebellion brought it out into the open. And it suddenly became the fashionable thing to do, to speak out against sacred things, against the Lord's anointed, a man after God's own heart, against David. And Shimei was ready. I was a spokesman for millions. Others who would not have thought of being so blasphemous, they're quite happy to hear Shimei being blasphemous for them. Holy Spirit paints the picture. You see David coming up over the hill and over the brow of Olivet till he reaches Bahurim. He's just come past the Garden of Gethsemane and on up over the brow of Olivet. Now he's just outside this place where this man lives. And the Holy Ghost says, behold, thence came out a man of the family of Saul, whose name was Shimei, and he came forth and cursed still as he came. Did you notice that? He cursed still. He'd been cursing all along. He'd been cursing David at home. He'd been cursing him before his wife and children. He'd been cursing him at work to his cronies. He'd been cursing him at the tavern where he drank his nightly pint, whatever it was. He was cursing David, and he was cursing still. Only before, when he'd done it cautiously, you know. Now he did it right out loud, blatantly, spitting the words into David's own face. Picks up stones and throws stones at David and at David's people. Come out, he says, come out, thou bloody man, thou son of the devil. What a terrible thing to say to the Lord's anointed. What a thing to say to the one who had provided salvation in the valley of Elah. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. My friend, what comes out of your mouth shows what's in your heart. There's no way you can stop that, nor anybody else. And so Shimei fully expressed himself, and he revealed a heart as black as pitch and a soul benighted more than that of a pagan. And I'll tell you something that never occurred to this foolish man. It never once occurred to him that David was coming back. It never once occurred to him that it was a day of reckoning coming when what he had said would be held up against him. If he had said to Shimei, if he had said, don't you think you'd better curb your tongue, man, there's going to be a second coming of David. He said, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word. And so we are told how forcefully he expressed himself and how foolishly he exposed himself. In fact, he was only a heartbeat away from judgment as he stood there cursing David, that's all. My friend, let me tell you, every Christ-rejecting individual is only a heartbeat away from judgment, that's all. There was a man standing there by David's side that day by the name of Abishai. Boy, he was a mighty man, was Abishai. One of David's mighty men. And what Shimei didn't realize was that the moment he expressed himself like that, he also exposed himself. Because the moment Abishai heard it, he had his sword in his hand, and he said to David, let me go over and take his head off. Little did Shimei know that even as the curses were welling up like molten lava from his black and sulphurous heart, running out of his mouth in a sulphurous stream of hate, little did he know that the only reason he wasn't struck dead on the spot where he stood was that during these days of his rejection, David was exercising grace. It's the only reason. And as the avenging sword hand of Shimei was about to come down, the hand of David went out and held it back. David said, no, let him curse. This is a day of grace, let him curse. So you see, he illustrates how far a person will go in profaning God's honor. And the only reason these kind of people don't get what they deserve as these terrible things come out of their mouths is that the Lord is exercising grace to them in the hope of saving some. But if we are given a lesson in how far a person will go in profaning God's Son, we also are given a lesson of how far a person can go in professing God's salvation without ever really being saved at all. There's something rather awesome about both these scenes. There's something terrible about both pictures. Because we not only have a picture of this man's shameless character, we have a picture of his shallow conversion. You'll notice that when David came back from his victorious confrontation with the armies of Absalom, and Shimei comes down to meet the king with 1,000 men of Benjamin, you notice three things. First of all, he professed to be repentant. And then he pretended to be regenerate. And finally, he proved to be reprobate. He professed to be repentant. And mark you here, he had all the outward marks of a truly repentant sinner. If the only passage you had in the Old Testament about Shimei was 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 15 to 23, you would confidently say the man was saved. You would. Notice what he did. We are told he fell down before the king. Fell down before the king. He was terribly afraid. He was under what theologians would call today conviction of sin. That's the very first work of God the Holy Spirit in a human heart. I don't believe there's any genuine conversion without genuine conviction. The Holy Spirit, first of all, reproves of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come before he opens a person's eyes to see the Lord Jesus in all his loveliness. As far as Shimei was concerned, he professed to be repentant. Notice what he did. He fell down before the king. The very first thing that you look for in a person that you are seeking to lead to Christ is some evidence that this person realizes that his behavior has earned him the judgment of God. And if he's not under some kind of conviction of sin, you may as well leave alone. Not ready yet to be saved. Now, churches are full of people all across the country who've been shoved into some kind of profession of faith without any real conviction of sin. And it doesn't work. You're a lady, you say they're backslidden. Not backslidden at all, never saved in the first place. So you notice what he did. He fell down before the king. And you'll notice what he declared. He said, I have sinned. I have sinned. Well, what more could you ask than that? I mean, every soul winner knows perfectly well that if you're dealing with a person about his spiritual condition, his need of Christ, there has to be some place where that person says, I've sinned. Without anybody putting any pressure on, Shimei said, I've sinned. I've sinned. Nobody did. David didn't have to send Abishai after him, get him by the scruff of his neck, and drag him down to the altar at the front of the church and say, what are you, a sinner now? Oh, no. He came himself. He said, I've sinned. That's what he declared. Now you notice not only what he did and what he declared, you notice what he desired. He said, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely. He said, O Lord, forgive.
Lord, forget. I tell you, if you were dealing with somebody who were leading to Christ and they used language like this, that God would not impute iniquity unto them, you'd say, my, this person's got a theological understanding of what salvation's all about. And now, please don't misunderstand me. These steps are necessary in dealing with a soul. He even quoted one of David's Psalms. And if this was all we had, we'd have said this fellow was saved. He wasn't saved at all. He professed to be repentant. Now I'll tell you what you had with this man, Shimei. You had an awakened soul. That's what you had. You had an awakened soul. You had a person who was suddenly, acutely aware of their lost condition. You have an awakened soul. But you never see a regenerate spirit. Man's attitude towards David and his deep-seated animosity towards David is never changed. He's not converted at all. He just pretends to be converted. And so you see a man who professed to be repentant. And then you see a man who pretended to be regenerate. You see, Solomon was the one who brings it out. He puts him to the test. And the whole purpose of the test that Solomon put to this man Shimei was to find out if he'd had a change of heart. That's all. And what he actually did, we read the story, he drew a circle around him. He said, now there you are, Shimei, you're inside that circle. That's the circle of my will for your life. You're to stay in Jerusalem. That is the good and acceptable and perfect will of the throne for you, that you stay in Jerusalem. You understand that? Build yourself a house, any kind of house you like, any street you want, any way you like in the city, and stay there. You can go anywhere you want in Jerusalem, but don't you dare go outside Jerusalem. Because, you see, the test of whether or not a real work of grace has been done in a human heart is simply this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do what I say. And you won't do it because you have to, but because you want to. That's the test. And so Solomon drew this circle of the sovereign, of his sovereign will around Shimei, told him to stay in Jerusalem, and it was clear-cut, unequivocal command, totally unambiguous, clearly known and understood, and Shimei understanding clearly what the will, the sovereign will of the throne was for his life, he said the saying is good. Saying is good. That's not what he thought in his heart, mind you. But he knew, he'd been around now long enough to know the right things to say. And he said the saying is good. Saying is good. And he pretended to be regenerated, pretended to be saved. And for a considerable time he went on play-acting the part of an obedient man.
Because, you see, for a long time nothing happened that made the restriction that was placed upon his life by the throne very irksome. It didn't matter to him whether he stayed in Jerusalem or not. But finally, we are told how he proved to be reprobate. After 3 years, something happened. For those 3 years, you know, you'd have pointed to Shimei and you'd have said, "My, oh my, what a changed person. What a changed person." He wasn't changed at all. But you'd thought he was. It seemed to be a model case of conversion. He no longer cursed and blasphemed. He spoke softly. He walked carefully. He put on a very impressive act. Kept it up for a long time. But you know, Solomon knew perfectly well what he was doing. He knew perfectly well this man's heart was never changed at all. You can fool everybody else. You couldn't fool Solomon. He could see perfectly well the guy was just putting on a big act. Just had to wait long enough and he'd give himself away. Sure enough, after 3 years, two of his servants ran away. I don't blame him. But if I'd been them, I'd have run away a long time ago. And as soon as his servants ran away, Shimei got out his transportation, went after them. Clean out of the city. He wasn't changed at all. He was just as much a rebel when he went running out after his servants as when he came over the brow of Olivet cursing David. Just as much a rebel, he wasn't changed at all. And he was hauled into court. And his behavior was exposed. You read the story, I didn't read it all. And he was executed. Because his heart had never been changed at all. Never loved David. Never loved David. Never loved the Lord's anointed. Never loved the one who went down into the place of death, into the valley of Elah, to purchase his salvation. Just went through a play-acting session, that's all. It wasn't real. David had not been deceived. That's why David didn't offer him justification. David only offered him a stay of execution. And then he said to Solomon, he said, "I know perfectly well the old scoundrel isn't a bit changed. He's no different now than he was when he cursed me. Just afraid of me, that's all. And I promised I wouldn't kill him. But his heart isn't changed, Solomon. You haven't promised him anything. You do what's right." And Solomon did. He found a way to make it obvious that the man's heart had never been changed. He was just as much a rebel when he died as he was when he cursed. "Thou knowest," said Solomon, "all the wickedness which thine heart is guilty of." That's what Solomon said when he passed sentence on him. Now listen, friend, if you got genuinely saved, you don't have to worry about this, because your sin has been washed away in the blood of Christ. You never have to face your sin again. But if you just pretend, you won't get away with it. Because you can fool people, but you can't fool God. The Lord not deceived by our pretense of being a Christian. He knows, and we know in our heart of hearts, whether or not we've come to love the Lord Jesus. That's the difference. And this poor lost man never, ever, ever learned to love David or Solomon. Shall we pray? I don't suppose there's anyone here who has cursed Jesus the way Shimei cursed David. You're just as lost, though, aren't you? If you're not saved. Maybe there's some of you, especially those born and brought up in a Christian home, where it's so easy to learn the language and to say the right things and do the right things, but your heart's never been changed, never been saved. It'd be a good day to get saved. Oh, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000, the one whom angels worship, loved us enough to die for us, robed himself in human flesh, born in that Bethlehem barn, trod these scenes of time, went about doing good, died for our sins, rose again the third day, lives in the power of an endless life, sent his Holy Spirit, coming back one day. Help us, Lord, to love him. We ask it in his precious name.